Right now, many churches are planning their budgets for the next fiscal year. Your church can support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. by joining the Issues Etc. 300. We're looking for 300 congregations to include $1,000 in their mission or advertising budgets. Find out more about the Issues Etc. 300 on the support page of our website, issuesetc.org. Don't miss your congregation's budget deadline. Download the flyer and present it to your congregation today.
Don't let evil triumph. Do something. Cast your vote.
The Democrats' faith outreach in 2010 hasn't been anything like it was in 2008.
At best, so-called same-sex marriage is an untested social experiment, and at worst, it poses a dangerous risk with potentially far-reaching consequences.
We have a lot of people who are in same-sex relationships in our Catholic communities, and the DVD campaign was very hurtful to them and to their families and friends, and to many other Catholics.
The liturgy is a great protection. It simply proclaims the good news of Jesus in a way that is so rich and so full that I've never seen any sort of man-made substitute that could do the job the same way.
Florida truck drivers love Issues Etc.
The argument seems to make a lot of sense. I'm no lawyer, but there are lawyers and legal scholars who are arguing that the law needs to reflect reality, the way things really are for America's kids, especially with regard to the definition of family. And they're arguing that two simply won't do. It's not enough. We need to start thinking in broader terms legally and defining in broader terms legally this thing we call the family. Is that a good idea? As commonsensical as the argument may seem to be, we're going to talk about legally redefining the family. Dr. Jennifer Roback Morris joins us for the first few minutes of this hour of Issues Etc. live this Tuesday afternoon, November the 2nd. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. You can join us for the next hour. Our call-in number, 1-877-623-MYIE, 877-623-6943. Our in-studio email address is talkback@issuesetc.org. Our Twitter address, @IssuesETC, or you can always visit our Facebook fan page, facebook.com/IssuesETC. A little bit later on this Tuesday afternoon, Connie Mackey of the Family Research Council will join us to talk about various referenda on statewide social issues. And then we'll continue our series on apparent contradictions in the Bible today. Where exactly did Christ's ascension take place? There are at least three accounts. Do they agree? And when did the apostles receive the Holy Spirit? John 20 says Easter Eve. Luke says in the book of Acts, or perhaps some other time. Dr. Peter Scare will be our guest to continue that series on apparent contradictions in the Bible. In the meantime, Dr. Jennifer Roback Morris joins us. She's founder and president of the Ruth Institute, based in San Marcos, California. She taught economics for 15 years at Yale and George Mason Universities, and she's author of the books Smart Sex and Love and Economics. Jennifer, welcome back.
Hi, Todd. Thanks for having me.
Very nice to see you last week when you were in town to, I think you were filming Faith and Culture with Colleen Carroll Campbell, and great to see you and have some lunch with you.
That was really great. It's nice when you have virtual and electronic and radio friends to actually see them in person. So I really enjoyed that very much indeed. Now I see what you look like.
Yeah. Well, I know the disappointment is overwhelming, but
Well, no, you look like your picture. I mean, your listeners should realize that you're actually better looking than your picture. So that's always a good thing.
Oh, that's nice to hear. Very nice to hear.
There you go.
The argument is that the law needs to reflect things as they are, not things as they were or things as we wish they were. And so the family's changed. The family needs to be redefined legally. Seems to make sense. What's your response?
Well, a story was written in the Boston Globe this past week that makes this case that children really need more than two parents in some situations, and that the law should go ahead and recognize the people who happen to be in the child's life. And so the headline of the story is Johnny has two mommies and four dads. That was the headline of the story. And so really what is, I think, revealing about this article is that the advocates of redefining marriage are now coming out of the closet, as it were, and admitting that they're also intending to redefine parenthood, because that's really the bottom bottom line. And I've been saying that for a long time, and a lot of times people look at me like I'm hyperventilating or getting hysterical or something. But in fact, redefining marriage will necessarily mean redefining parenthood. And I think people have every right to weigh in on the subject of whether they think that's a good thing or not. So this article from the Boston Globe is something that I posted at the Ruth blog, and we've had a whole raft of comments going back and forth. And I really hope your Issues Etc. listeners will go to the Ruth blog and look for this article and chime in the comments, because you will be surprised to see that the people who are taking this position that children can have 2, 3, 4, 5 parents, they're not embarrassed anymore to say that. And so what they're saying is that the stepfather or the lesbian co-partner or a whole set of other people in and around the child's life should be given legal rights, and that the business of the courts should be to figure out who counts as a parent and to assign rights and give rights to those people. And I think this is quite an alarming trend, and your listeners need to know about it.
One of the arguments, I think I found it there among the comments at the Ruth blog, was, look, it in some cases produces kids that are well-adjusted, honor roll, good grade, stayed away from drugs and premarital sex, and they're just fine. These arrangements often produce just great kids. Why shouldn't we have legal recognition that these arrangements are as valid and perhaps as good for the kids as mom and dad?
Well, you know, if you look a little closer at that particular person who's talking about that, that particular person says, my child has 3 mothers and 1 father. And it turns out, if you look at it a little closer, that the child that she's talking about, she had in a relationship before she ever entered into her lesbian relationship. And so her child's father has known her from the beginning, because they had an out-of-wedlock childbearing, you know, way back when the kid's now in high school, I gather. So that is not particularly a case where you've got a couple of lesbians having a child together. You've got your never-married parent taking up into a sexual relationship with another person and keeping a relationship with a biological father. Well, the fact is that if you look at these different kinds of family configurations, it's always true that you can find some that do okay. But it is the case that if you look statistically at the different permutations and configurations of possible parents and relationships, that the married couple, biological family, is still the gold standard as far as kids are concerned. So every, you know, sort of step you take away from that norm, you expose the kids to higher risk. So, but even that, I think, Todd, isn't exactly the point. And that's, I tried to take her off of that point a little bit. If you saw further down in the comments, you know, I chimed in there. The question is whether you want to call this thing marriage. You see, the 4 adults who are involved in that child's life, to me, aren't a marriage, you know, and shouldn't be counted as a marriage. Whereas marriage, as it's traditionally understood, is a union of sexual activity and child rearing and child bearing all in one bundle. So you've got the two people who brought the child into being have lifelong responsibility for the child. That's what marriage is supposed to do. And so the real question is whether busting that up and fragmenting that and spinning off the relationships into different categories and so on, whether that's a good arrangement and whether that's the direction we want to go. And it seems to me that's what the marriage debate is about. And the thing that's so alarming to me, and that I think should be alarming to your listeners, is that as we go down this path of fragmenting the family and fragmenting that bundle that used to be called marriage, what you're doing is empowering the state at every step. And in the Boston Globe article, one of the advocates of this position even says, this is a legal expert named Nancy Polikoff, she says, the law determines what makes someone a legal parent, not marriage, not biology. Those things don't determine who is a parent. The law does, said Professor Polikoff. Okay, and so I think, you know, that most normal people, when they think mom and dad, they don't think of a legal document. They think of biology, you know. And so what we have here is a trend that takes a natural reality, and the law respecting the natural reality and making provision for exceptions, What the sex law radicals want to do is to take that natural reality, basically throw it out the window, and replace it with something that is solely created by the state. That's where this thing is heading. And when you see these people talking like this, you can tell I'm not exaggerating. I'm not making this up. In fact, I couldn't make this up. It's too strange to make up, you know? So I really hope you're... listeners will go over to the Roof blog and chime in and help us out a little bit, because you'll see we have some regular commenters who come in and, you know, tell us we're full of baloney and stuff, and it would be good to have some sensible people from the heartland to back us up a little bit.
With only about 30 seconds here, one objection that I'd like you to respond to, and that is, look, you conservatives are always kind of pitting the ideal, the thing that never was, against the reality that is today. And you're hoping for something that most people, it's a luxury for what you're saying. You guys may be able to do it, but the rest of us live in the real world. Your response with 30 seconds, Jim.
Todd, the fact is that we now have a situation where two parents staying married to each other for a lifetime, that's now the luxury, and it's a luxury precisely because the sex law radicals have been attacking it. It's not that people have drifted away from marriage as the ideal or have abandoned it as an ideal. It's because particular ideological people with power have pushed the law in a direction to make it harder and harder and harder. And that, it seems to me, is that's the great untold story, that poor people and ordinary people have not abandoned marriage. It's been taken away from them. And it's about time somebody came out and said that.
Folks, you'll find a link to Jen's blog post titled Johnny Has Two Mommies and Four Dads at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Dr. Jennifer Roback Morse is a regular guest. She's founder and president of the Ruth Institute based in San Marcos, California. She taught economics for 15 years at Yale and George Mason Universities. She's author of the books Smart Sex and Love in Economics. Jennifer, thank you.
Thanks for having me.
When we come back, we'll continue our series on apparent contradictions in the Bible. Dr. Peter Scare of Concordia Theological Seminary will be our guest. Will your church be one of the Issues Etc. 300? Hi, this is Todd Wilkin. We're looking for 300 congregations to pledge $1,000 to Issues Etc. in their budgets. To find out more about the Issues Etc. 300, click the support page of our website, issuesetc.org. You'll even find a one-page informational flyer. Please consider including Issues Etc. in your church's mission or advertising budget. The Issues Etc. 300.
Here's a great resource for Sunday school teachers. Mondays, we interview Deaconess Pam Nielsen of Concordia Publishing House about the upcoming Growing in Christ Sunday school lesson. You'll find these interviews under the Listen on Demand page of our website, issuesetc.org. Listen to a 20-minute interview with Pam Nielsen and you'll be prepared to teach Sunday school this weekend. issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand and look for Teaching a Sunday School Lesson with Deaconess Pam Nielsen.
Where Christianity meets culture, you're listening to Issues Etc.
Would you like to support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. by making a regular, monthly, tax-deductible gift? We've made it easy for you to donate using automatic withdrawal. Simply fill out and mail the automatic billing authorization form under the donate page of our website, issuesetc.org. No more writing monthly checks or making monthly PayPal contributions. issuesetc.org. Click donate and fill out and mail the automatic withdrawal form. Thanks for your support.
Have you heard of the CLCC? In Hosea 4, we see, "My people are destroyed by lack of knowledge." The Confessional Lutherans for Christ Commission can help educate Lutherans on being Lutheran. We treasure our Lutheran beliefs and think that all Lutherans would if they learn what we believe, teach, and confess. So visit our website, www.theclcc.org. Check out what we have to offer. Get on our mailing list, or better yet, join us. And maybe encourage your pastor to hold a seminar in your area. Just go to theclcc.org.